Steady, go.
Guten Tag.
Hello, hello.
Should we
How are
just
you?
jump right in? No,
Okay.
no
No,
foreplay.
niceties, no
No.
preliminary chitty chat. Okay, cool. So
Today's topic.
today we have decided to talk about self-sabotage.
Yeah.
We can define it, should
Yes.
we?
Yeah, I did a little bit of ChatGPT work last night just because I wanted to. I mean, I think everybody knows when they're sabotaging themselves. Let me take that back. I think we know kind of like after the fact when we look back, we're like, oh, yeah. But I like the idea of like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, for me, self-sabotage is how I get in my own way.
Okay, I need some more.
Okay. It is how I prevent myself from doing the things that I want to
There we
do.
go.
So I get in my way. I'm putting rocks in my own path to prevent me getting to where I want to get to. So yeah, what would
I like
you
it.
add? What would you add?
I would say it's so I there's the book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks is his name, and
Yes.
he said that like we all have a threshold of what we think, I don't know if deserve is the right word, but like what we think we've earned or deserve in life. And when we either aim to pop above it or we accidentally pop above it, self-sabotage is the way we bring ourselves back down to that threshold. Love, money, success. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. The beliefs that I hold in the back of my mind, often that I do not know I have, that will pull me back to
Yeah.
where some part of my mind thinks I should be.
Yeah. That's why I like the idea of the threshold. You know, like I think I deserve this much income. Let's just use money because everybody understands money. Like, I think, you know, $100,000 a year is that's fine. But if I pop up and make 200,000, there's something that will have me dip back down. And I won't even be, I actually did this. So I have a threshold around money. And I popped way above it. And this year, I'm back down. Which tells me, perhaps, right? I'm not saying that this is necessarily what's happening, but it could be that I have subconsciously taken my foot off the gas to get myself back to that number that I think I actually deserve, or like, who do I think I am? That's like, ugh, pop myself back under my threshold line.
I'm distracted, Ali, and it's because there is, you might be able to see reflected in my glasses, an
Yeah.
enormous
I thought you were tanning.
ring light. I need to turn it down. My little ring light broke and I borrowed this one, but it's wild. I mean, it's too much. And I can't think straight because I feel like I'm in a torture chamber where somebody's shone a light on me and I'm being
And asking you
interrogated.
questions. Yes,
Okay,
that's
that's
much
better.
better.
Can you still see me though, or do I look like I'm in witness protection?
No, you're good. You're all good. You're gorge.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry for that lighting.
No.
Technical hiccup.
We'll delete that out of the podcast. No,
Yeah,
we won't.
I apologize. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? That you know, one of the reasons, or possibly the reason, is not that you took your foot off the gas, but why you took your foot off the gas
Yes.
in order to bring yourself back down to where you, somewhere in your mind, are comfortable being, think you should be. Deserve to be those thoughts. Ah, we both took a massive intake of breath.
I
Okay. Well, my story that had me think of this as a topic that had it in the fore of my mind was that I'm currently in action, working on a project, and just notice what I don't normally use the expression self-sabotaging, but I just really notice that I am getting in my own way. I'm comparing myself to others and making myself wrong. I'm criticizing, I mean, I don't need any enemies because I'm busy doing this all myself, criticizing my process and kind of like, you're taking too long, you're too slow. Why can't you be quick like other people? Why my process is, I will dot the I's, I will cross the T's. I need to understand the thing. And I'm making myself wrong for the process that I won't say it's my natural process, but the process that has evolved to be my process over the years, over time. I've also noticed, well, I've kind of said it, but I'm saying horrible things to myself. So not only am I comparing myself to others, but I'm just being plain mean to myself. And, saying that I'm too old, I've left it too late, I'm too slow, all of these things. And how this is sabotaging me is that it's taking my mental energy, it is taking up time. And it's the key thing that set me off on this is it's just sucking the joy out of what I'm doing, which is then further having me question whether this is really something that I even want to do, all of which stops me.
It's like so convoluted, all of the schemes that our minds have and like how they like touch every once in a while and bounce off and do these things. But if we were to like just take all of that and throw it away, you're scared. Got it.
Yes. And to relate it back to the threshold, because I'm moving beyond my threshold of what I think I can do. So to bring it back to that, I'm moving beyond that, I'm moving outside of that. And so my survival mechanism, my fear is pulling me back.
That's its job, right? I think. I mean,
Yeah,
I feel
no,
like
it is its job.
I appreciate that my mind can do that. I just don't like it when it does it when I have to get stuff done.
And the sort of reason this was interesting to me was because I'm interested in the experience of life that I'm having on a day-to-day basis, as well as I want to have a happy life in the future. I want to plan and create things for the future. But I actually want to enjoy the process. I want to enjoy each day as a complete sort of mini world. And I haven't been enjoying myself. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? So, I mean, one of the questions that we had, sort of the first question we had for ourselves was, how do I know I'm self-sabotaging?
Because we're actually designed to not know it. So then we're going to have to like pick up breadcrumbs other places to look for signs, like the fallout. All right, so how do you know? Like, what had you thinking? I wonder if I'm actually sabotaging myself right now.
Well, I'd love to just, I think that's such a good point. We're designed to not know. The whole design of this is that we don't know, because if I find out that I'm self-sabotaging, then I'm in with a shot of moving beyond the threshold.
Well,
So the whole thing.
that's the assumption, like that's the logical thought. I don't know if that's actually true, but let's keep going.
Yeah, it feels true. So I've lost my thread now.
Shoot, sorry.
That's okay. So, yes, the question is, how do I know
How
I'm
do you know?
self-sabotaging? And your brilliant point is, The whole process is designed so that we don't kind of know that we're sabotaging, and that keeps us stuck, which is the whole point of all of this. And it feels like stuck to my conscious mind, but to my subconscious mind, again, forgive the language if it doesn't work for you, dear listener. But the whole point is to keep me not stuck, but safe. So to the question, how do I know that I'm self-sabotaging? And it will potentially be different for everybody, but the thing that struck me was I, in fact, somebody commented on the fact that, like, you don't seem to be enjoying this. Like, why? Yeah, you're like, isn't this meant to be fun? Like, didn't you want this to be fun? And I'm like, oh my God, it's not fun. So that was the little sort of thing that got me thinking. And then I was able to sort of bring some attention to it. And I noticed, like, oh my God, I'm up and down out of my chair like 100 times a day. Like,
Even
I
your
write a
body's like
sentence.
that.
Yeah, I write a sentence, I get up and I move away. And we've just both been in a program where we've looked at naming some of the sort of our survival mechanisms, our survival behaviors. And one of mine is disappearing Duchess. Another one, which feels like a twin sister to her, is frozen fabulosity. And I can see how I keep disappearing. I keep getting up and moving away. Another thing that I notice where I have a clue that I'm self-sabotaging is that I don't finish things. So I will start something, but I don't finish it. It just kind of peters away, which again is that sort of disappearing. I'm very excited about it, the sort of like flamboyant duchessy sort of type of bit, and then I just disappear. So those are clues to me. What about you? How do you?
Yeah, mine are similar. I would say I do the thing where I just start. I don't think it through. I don't sit in contemplation. I just, the shiny ball looks great. Let's go. And then I get my hand into 100 different things so I can't finish anything. So part of it is, I would say shiny ball. The other thing is, oh, I just lost it. Oh, busy.
Say more.
I'll fill my calendar. I'll make myself busy to have the excuse, right? Like to almost give myself permission not to finish the thing that is important to me. Seems pretty silly. And as you were talking, I was thinking back. There was a time in my life when my kids were little, like toddler age, and I was still trying to work full time and get a master's degree at night while raising babies. Insane. And what's interesting, there's two places where I can really see this for myself. I kept getting sick. I was sick all the damn time. I could not go more than like 2 or 3 weeks in a row without getting something else. And again, I wouldn't necessarily call that sabotage, but I think there's something in our nervous systems that like you run yourself ragged like that, your immunity is gonna fall off. And it's almost like, but I'm not dumb. I know that. So why do I run myself ragged? That was one. And then the other place I noticed that happened where I almost always got really sick, like really, really sick, was when we would have to go visit my in-laws. And that was because I was so uncomfortable there. It just was a really terrible experience. And I think that was another way for me to kind of like my body, my nervous system was just like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, to sabotage the plan.
Kind of like you can kind of hide now, which is interesting.
And so I will put things off again. We've said this before, we're like chalk and cheese. If we if we made babies, they would be perfect
They
humans
would be. They
because
would
they
be.
would have all the balance of all of this stuff. But I put things off. You put all the things in.
Yeah.
You're chasing the
Yep.
shiny ball and you drop the balls. You drop
Yeah.
balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't get started.
You have no, Mia, you have no balls. I'm going to get
How
you a
dare you?
t-shirt.
How
No
dare you?
balls.
So yeah, so there are all these different, like you and I are quite different in the way that we show up and do things, but
Yeah.
still we've got our own mechanisms
Yeah.
for keeping us. Again, it's frustrating. One of the things that has let me know that I'm getting, I would call it getting in my own way, would be the language I would use more naturally than sabotaging, but I think they're the same thing,
Yeah.
is how frustrated I have been feeling with myself. And then starts, because I'm like, why? And
Yeah, what's
then
wrong
starts
with
the,
me?
yeah, then exactly what's wrong with me? And then starts the berating and the negative self-chatter, which then keeps me really busy over here doing
Yeah,
that,
yes.
brilliantly distracted from doing the actual thing that I want to do.
100%.
So we've identified it, we've sort of defined it,
Yeah.
we've looked at how each of us know that we're doing it.
Yeah.
The next question that we had was why, and I think we've touched on why. Is there
Sure.
anything
Well,
else to say
let's
about
summarize.
why we do?
Because I think it's helpful. Because I think, we talked about why. Let's come back and summarize why so it's crystal clear. I believe we self-sabotage because of fear. If you just want to generalize it, we do it because we're fearful of something and it's deep. And we might not even be able to articulate the fear. I don't know if mine is a fear of failure or a fear of success. They, for me, they feel very close together. Or a fear of being irrelevant. Like, is that a version of failure? Or is it a fear of judgment? I don't know. But I think it's fear. And when we can dial in and really identify, okay, this is fear of failure. I'm really afraid that I'm going to go out. So I just started a social media campaign back in May. And I was like, I'm just going to go like I do. I'm going to do all of it all the time, every day. So in my first, one of my posts that I put out was people attacked. I felt attacked by the comments. I think they were meant to attack as well, but I was feeling attacked. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll just stop doing that. That was my fear. My fear is that people wouldn't like me. Okay, by the way, there's 8 billion people on the planet, and like three people wrote something criticizing what I had put out. And my fear was that those three people don't like me. That is an honest fear that I have. Now, my intellectual side is like, don't be dumb, Allison. Who cares, right? But I can't deny that I have a very, very deep desire for all 8 billion people to like me. As you giggle, because you're like, I know.
I mean, I think so many people have the fear of not being liked. And I agree with you. Fear is that sort of feels like it's the core stone right at the center of the fruit.
Yes.
And each of us has our own variety of flavors. Fear of the unknown, scared of risks, scared of not being liked, scared of not being enough, fear of, fear of, fear of, fill in the blank. And again, we've touched on this, but I think all of those behaviors are designed to stop me. I've used the word stuck, and the word safe. My fear, that drive, is to keep me safe. It's an ancient part of not only my mind, but you know, from when I was little, but also a sort of a biological drive to keep us safe. So if I perceive something as being frightening, I'm not going to advance towards it. I'm
Right.
going to recoil.
Yes.
I'm going to hold back. So yeah, the whole process, all of the getting up and down, going into the other room, you know, losing my thread, doubting, you know, the project, doubting my capacity to fulfill on the project, da 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 da. All of those things are designed to make me stop.
They're distractions.
Yeah, they're all, well, yeah, all of the processes, you know,
Yeah.
you know, we've described are there to make me stop. You dropping a ball, filling the calendar up, missing things is designed to make you stop in order to keep you safe from people not liking you.
Yes.
For me,
Yes.
from finding out, oh, you really are not enough. You really cannot do the thing. Yeah.
Jesus.
So,
So what do we do about it?
well, that's where we go now is what do we do about it?
Yeah.
How do we stop the stopping?
A couple things that I really that work well for me is if I can I okay, let me back up. I like the idea that there's three steps to actually shifting something, change, just change as a concept. And the first thing we got to do if we're going to change something is we have to become aware of what is actually happening in the moment. So what I want to do is spend a lot of time just noticing, what is this fear? Ah, I filled my calendar again. Or, oh gosh, I'm sick again. What is happening? Like, why do I? And just start to feel into that. And it's, if you can do it yourself, awesome. If you can't, talk it out, journal, find somebody you trust. I typically need somebody outside of me to help me see the fear. So I call you, talk to my daughter, I have a coach, I have a therapist, husband, dog, right? So get into like what is in my way? What am I scared of? What is my ego or what is my social my survival mechanism protecting me from what is the thing? What's the core? The second step, which is the one that most of us want to step over, is accept. The second step is to accept that I have this fear. I don't want to be afraid that people won't like me. I don't like having that fear. It feels juvenile. It feels desperate. It feels needy. It feels insecure. I have a lot of judgment around this deep-seated fear of not being liked. I got to accept that I have it. I've got blue eyes and two legs and right, like it's there. Like the more I try to back over it with my car doesn't take it away. It's there. So I believe the second step is to really genuinely accept this part of myself and to show it some reverence, show it some love, give it a cookie. And then the third step is the adapt. It's the three A's. So the third step is like, okay, if I were to do something small, maybe I'll put one video on all the social media platforms every day. Just one, 30 to 60 seconds. I'll put it out every day, 5 days a week. I won't do the weekends. It's a small step, and I'll commit to doing that for, whatever. For me, I'm committing to a year, but I'm in it. If this was the first time, I would be like, okay, put out one post every day for 2 weeks and then see. But making that step so ridiculously small that I can succeed. If I want to run a marathon, the first step is to just put some shoes on and go outside. I don't have to run. I don't even have to walk. Just get the shoes on and go outside. That's the small step. Yeah, go ahead.
So with the acknowledging it, yes, noticing it is the, you know, I think you use that language as well.
Aware, accept, adapt is the three A's.
Okay, aware, you said aware. Yeah, so to notice the thinking. So, you know, if we break it down for people, to notice, oh, what are the thoughts that I'm having? To notice the behaviors
Yeah.
that the thoughts are generating.
Yeah, like you noticed you were comparing yourself and you were beating yourself up. And the behavior was like so distressing or uncomfortable that you would physically get up and leave. It's good to notice that.
I noticed yesterday, I was like, I literally just stood up. Why am I standing up again? And it was like I was on a yo-yo or something. It was, and yeah, luckily I noticed it. I mean, it was quite extreme because I was literally up and down like a yo-yo. But yeah, so noticing the thinking, noticing the feelings, noticing the behaviors. I have a question. And we've gone to, because we're in like, so what can I do about it? So, you said talk to somebody, journal, so start to get it outside of ourselves and make a note of it and then share it with someone. Fantastic. But you said, I've got to accept it.
I think it's very
So,
difficult to, I believe it's very difficult to change something without accepting that it's, that it is, that it exists.
how does not accepting get in the way of moving forward? That's a back to front question.
I'm trying to think of an analogy where it's like walking into a wall and then denying that the wall is there. Like, it's there, except that there's a wall here and that you can't, like, you're not going to jump over it and you're not going to knock it. It's there. And so being able to accept that there's a wall and then from that space say, okay, there is a wall here. I do have a fear that people won't like me. I almost feel like, and make that okay. Just when I say accept, I mean, let go of the desire or the indulgence to judge it. I have a fear of not being liked. That's so stupid. No. I have a fear of not being liked. God, what's wrong with me? Whoa. I have a fear that of not being liked. Period. End of sentence. Ah, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of fishing about for. Like, what is the gift of
Ah.
acceptance? So,
So yeah. Well, if we keep denying, if we keep denying it, it's not serving me. What happens is if I keep denying that I have this fear, or I keep making it wrong, it sends me back to then I've got to keep protecting myself from it.
yes, which is part of the
Go
stuck
back.
loop. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, if I can't be with it, if I
Yes.
cannot be with or accept the fact that this is what's happening and this is
Just
what I'm
is.
thinking, I will be using all of my energy to move away from the thing I cannot be with. So yeah, that's thank you. That was the thing I was fishing about for,
Yeah,
sort of like,
good. Thank you.
what is the gift? Why have we got to accept it? Why is that a step? But yes, it's actually, I used the word acknowledgement earlier, but it's, you corrected it to aware. It's that acknowledgement that this exists, which allows us to deal with the thing rather than constantly be using all of our energy to suppress it, avoid it, pretend it isn't there. Cool. So, sorry, there's somebody at our door.
What do you
So,
do?
adaptations.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's really loud. You can't hear it, can you?
I cannot. I can't hear a
Person on
thing.
the doorstep is shouting really. They're not actually shouting, they just have a really loud voice.
Is it an
Well, I
assassin?
think.
Do you need to go take care of something? Do you want me to call the emergency?
Okay, someone else is dealing with it. Well, in terms of this particular project, I mean, I think I spend a lot of time going round and round and round in circles, but what I am going to do is to actually create some adaptations, to use your word, but to create some support mechanisms for myself to help me move through what I have now seen.
Yep.
what I have now, got awareness of. And those include things like creating a timetable for myself, where I've got like a little mini container, give myself 45 minutes to do some work on this project. Maybe today I've got three of those 45-minute slots. And to, I mentioned this to you yesterday, reward myself, so sort of nurture and reward myself as I go through that process. And someone I was talking to yesterday said, I don't really find that rewards kind of work for me.
I
They
hear
just,
that a lot.
yeah, like, the, you know, I just, it doesn't motivate me, it doesn't do anything. And I was thinking about it, well, and sort of like, yeah, I kind of have the same thing, like, oh, I buy myself a new lipstick. I could buy myself a new lipstick if I want, or whatever the reward is. But I actually yesterday had this insight, oh, it's not actually that I'm giving myself whatever the thing is, the new book or the new lipstick or taking myself for a walk or whatever. It's that I'm committing to a process of nurturing myself. So
Yes.
in my mind yesterday, rewards became actually rewarding. They became nurturing.
Yeah.
And I could see how they dovetailed really nicely with putting these structures in place. So I will do my 45 minutes of work, whatever is created, and then I will nurture myself. I will reward myself. I will take care of myself. I will get up and I will go for a walk around the block. I will go and do some stretching in the other room. I will reward those efforts and nurture and replenish myself.
Beautiful. Couple thoughts. One is what I'm hearing is the reward is only as good as we empower it. So there's loads of people walking around the world saying, I don't need rewards. Okay, fine. Like, then don't need them. However, when we empower ourselves to reward ourselves, research shows it works really nicely. It actually moves us forward. So we can empower it if we want to. So that's the first thing I heard you say. What was the second thing I had?
Tell me, it
Which
must have been
is,
brilliant.
it, I think it was something around, oh, and then when you choose to take the walk, you're not forcing yourself to reward yourself with a walk. It's like when you go to take the walk, you're in the mindset of like, this is a reward. So I'll share an example that I love. So our daughter, who's been through an awful lot of mental health therapy, one of the things she learned was the simplest form of rewarding or nurturing yourself is to drink water. And when I'm feeling really terrible and I'm beating myself up and I can't win and I'm in a very low place, sometimes I just go get a glass of water. And I choose to think about it as taking care of myself. Right? So drinking water isn't necessarily taking care of yourself. Like, I think people tend to like jump to the other side and they're like, it's just a glass of water. I don't know. She drinks a glass of water. Big deal. It's like, no, I choose to behave in a way that this is how I'm taking care of myself. And it's simple, and I almost always have a glass, and I almost have access, almost always have access to water, so it works everywhere.
It to me, it's sort of it's quite exciting actually, because it's looking at rewards as
Yes.
something nurturing and not just, I don't know if I mean this, but not just a prize. So I sort of
Yes,
said a
thank you.
lipstick. I've made lists before where a new lipstick is on there, because an expensive, nice, beautiful lipstick is on there, which feels like a treat, and it can still be on there. But I was scribbling while you were talking about, I said earlier in the conversation about not just making the plan to get to the place that I want to be, but actually enjoying the process so that each day is is the experience that I want it to be, or is closer to the experience I want it to be. And I'm seeing how rewards actually are part of a nurturing process that help me create the experience that I want to have. So I'm rewarding myself with a walk outside in the fresh air. I'm rewarding myself with some stretching and feeling my body and tuning into my body if I've done some head work for 45 minutes, creative head work. And the word that I've written also is savoring. So thinking about the water, but just really savoring. I suppose it's almost like mindfulness, isn't it? It's that kind of mindful
Absolutely.
experience of drinking that glass of water, knowing that you are hydrating yourself, hydrating my brain so that I can be even more creative, and that actually the walk is part of the creative process. The stretching is part of the creative process. Creating a simple yet beautiful and nourishing lunch is part of the process. Yeah, all of these ways to be kind to myself and to be compassionate are part of the creative process of creating the thing that I'm working on.
Yeah, you're probably not, well, you've tried to beat yourself into being better. And it's not working.
No, it doesn't work, Ali. It's a horrible
Of course it
experience. I
doesn't.
shrink, I recoil, my creative juices dry up, my mind spirals. It's a really, really unpleasant experience. And actually, a massive part of the experience I want to have is to trust myself. I know you and people listening to this will have had this experience. It is not unique to me, where when I'm in this nurtured, nourished, whatever mental space, and my mind is quiet. It's not full of the chatter of, why am I not as fast as Ali? Why am I not as succinct as, Alesh? Why am I not as? Why am I not? Instead of being in that lack place, when I'm in this place of calm, ideas just arrive in my mind.
A
They just
stressed mind is
arrive.
not terribly creative.
No. So our ideas just arrive, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to trust that because this, thinking of Big Magic and, Elizabeth Gilbert and the idea that an idea will, visit to you, which sounds a little bit kind of like, away with the fairies, but, ideas pop into our minds, don't they? And then
Absolutely.
a calm mind is able to remember that long enough for us to get out of the shower and write that down and see where, if at all, but see where that piece fits into the puzzle. So it's just so much more of a pleasant, nurturing, creative experience than all the other stuff that I do not want to describe again.
Thank you. Lovely. Nice. What comes to mind? Oh, one other thing that I was thinking of to like tie this back to leadership, relationship, parenting is when, I mean, I really like a leader who has a lot of command of themselves. And it is very difficult for me, especially now, to be around people who are beating themselves up for whatever reason. You know, I'm not good enough, or I didn't try hard enough, or I should have done it this way, or why didn't I think of that? And it's not attractive. I don't mean physically, I mean energetically. So if we as parent, we as leader, we as, you know, team, supervisor, whatever position we're in life and whatever groups of people, if people are looking for us to role model, right? Our kids don't listen to what we say. They're watching what we do. Our teams aren't listening to what we say. They're watching what we do. And if we are hard charging and unforgiving and self, I don't want to say it wrong, flagellating.
Relating, yeah.
Okay. That's going to be what ends up getting created in the space. The worst thing, like if you think of something you'd care about deeply, like a child, I don't want my kids to go out into the world and beat themselves up because they made a mistake, because they're afraid to fail, because they're afraid people are not going to like them. I just don't want them to do that, right? Like, I want them to believe in themselves as much as I believe in them and all the things. Well, if they've never seen it modeled,
Yeah, 100%. How we relate to ourselves is how we are going to relate to other people. So if I have no patience, for my own process, I am most likely not going to have any patience for your process,
Absolutely
or
not.
within a family, my family members' process, within a team, my team members' process, the people I'm collaborating with. So there's an enormous amount to be gained by actually, the work, that idea that the work starts with us first.
Always.
Yeah. So the more I can be with and accept there is this fear. Yes, it's irrational. It's there nonetheless.
Still there.
And
We can
find
call it all
ways
sorts of
of,
things, yeah.
find ways of working with it, bringing it along with me as I create the things in my life that I want to create, the day-to-day experiences that I want to have. The more capacity I have practicing with myself, the more capacity I have to be with that in others.
Absolutely.
So to lead as a parent, to lead in a, in a corporate team space, or a business space, or a creative collaboration. I just wanted to add in a clearing exercise as one of the, because we sort of said, like, so how to stop, or how to be with this. You and I both do a daily clearing exercise. I am not 100% sure of the origins of that exercise. Are you
What's
sure?
the lineage?
I don't know, but we can put it in the notes. Where we write down fears, worries, concerns, complaints, and scribble those down. I do it in a little booklet, and I mark off that I have done it every day. I do it every day. I've missed four times this month.
Nice
Other
job.
than that, I've done it every day. So write down my fears, worries, complaints, concerns. Then say who would be like this. It usually is, well, a loser. Someone who shows up like this, someone with these fears, worries, complaints, concerns, is a loser. That's usually the one I have. Or a chicken. But it's usually a loser. And then sort of fact checking, like, is that a fact, or is it an interpretation?
Always,
An inter
always.
always an
And it's
interpretation.
never a fact, ever, 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 ever.
So I will write those two words down and circle interpretation, and then I choose a stand for the day. So what is the lens through which I want to approach my day?
Beautiful.
And invariably of late, it has been the word love, because that's very much about being compassionate to myself, and there, also to others. I add to that exercise three gratitude points. So I'll just write down one, two, three, the things I'm grateful for, and an acknowledgement of myself, not so much for what I've done, but for who I'm being,
Good.
about what
Wow,
I'm.
nice.
Yeah, I'd try really hard not to say, oh, you did all of your chores yesterday, you ticked everything off the to-do list, whatever it is. Not that. Because then that means I don't really have anywhere to go on the days where I didn't. But I start my day by acknowledging myself.
Can you give me an example? Like, who are you being today?
I can write down, I can tell you what I wrote down today. What did I write down today? Oh, I acknowledged myself repeatedly for being warrior with an A. So for the
We would call
fight
that warrior.
warrior, for the
Well done. That
fight,
was so American.
for the fight and feist and
Yes.
yeah, the kind of like that sort of like, you know, power stance energy. I
Beautiful.
acknowledge myself for that because that does reside within me. That is part of me.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I
that's what I
love it.
acknowledge myself for. So it's got sweet FA, nothing, zero to
Right.
do with taking a
What you're
particular
doing.
action. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with that at all. So I'm just putting that in there because I think
Good.
the how do I stop it? It's quite nice too. So we've just to kind of like quickly recap, we have said write it down, journal, maybe do a clearing exercise. Once you've written these things down, maybe talk to somebody. You know, share the thoughts,
What they
analyze
say,
them.
like when they hear what you're saying, can they see something that you can't? Because it's a blind spot.
And fact check them with
Sure.
yourself on a piece of paper.
Yes.
You know, is
Am I a
this
loser?
true? Yeah. Is this true? Is this what others would say about me? Would my friends or even colleagues at work who don't know me very well, would they go, "That woman, she's a real loser"?
That one is a slippery slope because people that don't that haven't done a lot of internal awareness type work will fight for that to be a fact. Yes,
I'm
other people
clearly
would
an
look at me.
enlightened being
You
because to
are like
me,
one of the
I know.
most.
Because I know I'm not actually sitting on anything, I'm hovering at the moment, just slightly above the chair, a tiny little stool, and I'm hovering above it. Oh, I won't go into that, but yes, yeah, I accept that it could be a slippery slope.
Well, that's why I said you can ask yourself hypothetically. The answer is never that
But
is
if
a
I was to
fact.
say to myself, what would Ali say? You know me very well. You have the measure of me, and
Good.
you would never refer to me as a loser.
Not in a million years.
Not
I'll say
even in
other things
jest.
about you.
Yeah, some of the things you've said.
But never loser.
No, never. Yay.
Love you.
So, anything else for this conversation to be complete and
No, I
finito?
think we've done a beautiful job, laid it out, went through the thing, asked ourselves some questions, had some practices, ended with, what do you do about it? I feel very complete. How about you?
Voila. Yes, I agree. Complete.
Okay.
Fantastique. Great.
Fantastique. C'est
Okay.
chouette. Okay, lady, I'm going to stop recording. I'll see you
Do it.
later. Okay, bye.
Bye.